seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
It's the end of an era in Anaheim. Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we have a packed show coming your way today. So we really have to dive right into it. We have three guests lined up, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But the big news today, the end of an era for the Angels. The Los Angeles Angels are saying goodbye to Albert Pujols, who was in the final year of his 10-year contract. And apparently, there's some context behind this. Apparently, Pujols was not happy about not being in the lineup last night. And that didn't come from Joe Maddon. It came from the front office. They did not want Pujols in the starting lineup last night, even though he was going up against a pitcher that he had a lot of success against. Apparently, that rubbed Pujols the wrong way. There's really no clear path for this guy at first base. They even used him at third just a couple of games ago. I mean, they have Jared Walsh. He's performing well. Sohei Ohtani, he's getting the majority of that bats, the DH spot. There's really no clear path for Pujols within this organization, and it's not as if he was lighting the world on fire. He's batting a .192 so far this season. A 10-year, $240 million contract back in December of 2011. That's what Pujols had signed. And now in the final year of that deal, he has been released. He was making $30 million this season. Really, this deal didn't pan out. His prime did not pan out in Anaheim. And, I there's all the speculation about how old Albert Pujols really is. I don't want to get into that. But he went 27 games. He started his Angels career 27 games without a home run. Recovered, was okay in 2012. Had 2013 cut short because of an injury. He averaged 30 home runs and 105 RBIs from 2014 to 2017, but his numbers continued to dip. He batted .239 between 2018 and 2021. And WAR is a big statistic, win above replacement. He was negative with the Angels during that time. So I don't know how you view this deal, this Pujols deal with the Angels, other than a failure. And I hate to use the word failure because this guy's going to the Hall of Fame. But I remember in 2011 when he signed this deal, it was a very big deal. We had been on the air with Drive Time Sports for a little over a year, and it was reminiscent of LeBron James's decision. It was that big. You know, you've got to remember that. It was a huge, huge deal. And he signs with the Angels, and yeah, it was a flop. It really was a flop when you look at what they gave him. And now, it's over. I don't know if Albert Pujols plays again this season. I would anticipate, yes, somebody would claim him. So he's designated for assignment. He'll clear waivers in a week that he can sign wherever he wants to go. But that was the big news in the national sports front today. Here's what we have on tap on Drive Time Sports. We're going to be joined by Coach Troy Winter of the Emory High School soccer squad. They had one of the biggest wins in program history yesterday. Opening round of the state tournament, they topped the Grand Red Devils 1-0. Grand dominates the region season. They go in as the 4 seed. Emory beats them when it matters. The Spartans move on. There were 4 upsets in the second round of the 3A State Soccer Championship. We'll talk to Coach Troy Winter. We're also going to catch up with manager Rob Smith of the Emory Spartans. He'll join us in just a bit. We'll set up the weekend for Emory's baseball squad, and we'll be joined by Jimmy Fela. He's the host of Fox Across America, which you hear every weekday right here on KOAL at 10 o'clock in the morning. Jimmy Failio will join us. We'll have a great conversation there as well. Like I said, a packed show. One of those days where, an hour's just not enough. So let's take a quick commercial break. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL. 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Yesterday was a beyond crazy day in high school sports. We had the second round of the 3A state championship soccer tournament, and we had four upsets. That's just so uncommon in the world of high school sports. Four upsets and a lot of high seeds falling. Grantsville, the number 5 seed, they lose to Richfield. Carbon, the number seven seed, they lose to Juab. Manti, the number 3 seed, they lose to Summit Academy. And then Grand, the number 4 seed, falls to Emory 1-0. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. Joining us over the phone, we have Coach Troy Winter. Coach, boy, it's a lot better to be talking about a victory, I know, than a season wrap-up interview. Thank you for joining us today.
I really appreciate it. Yes, it is a lot better than a season wrap-up. I'd rather be talking about going in to the third seed and semifinals.
Yeah, and it's there for the taking now, Coach. And before we jump ahead and talk about what's next in this bracket, we have to talk about this game against Grand. This is a team that pretty much breezes through the Region 12 slate. They go a perfect 10-0. They outscore their opponents 43-1 in 10 region games. And you guys come out and pick up a victory 1-0 yesterday on the road in Moab, no less.
Yeah, it was a great game, and that obviously them statistics right there show what a great team that they are and that they have the potential to be and stuff. And as far as scoring goals, they are very, very stingy about goals being scored on them because they put a lot of pressure on you, and you have to play a lot of good soccer. And we was fortunate enough yesterday that's where we sat. We played a lot of good soccer. So,
Coach, when we talked last week, I asked you, what would the approach be to the game? I mean, it didn't matter if you lose 1-0 or if you lose 10-0. It doesn't matter. I remember asking you that, and you said, no, you're absolutely right. We're just going to stick to a game plan defensively. We'll play conservative. We'll slow the game down. That's exactly what you guys did.
Absolutely. We played to our strengths, which is our defense, and we played defensively, set our guys up in positions to win. Had a couple little through balls and a couple opportunities. And it frustrated them. They got frustrated and, tried to take a couple of big kicks, put themselves out of position. And we was fortunate enough to take advantage of their one error, and stuff. And that was getting that goal, and stuff. So it was good. They executed very well. I'm very, very proud of our boys.
You guys score in the first half, and you managed to hold this the remainder of the way. And so we'll talk about Alex Noriega, who finds the back of the net, Coach, to break a scoreless tie in the first half. Once you guys go up 1-0, is there a major difference in attitude or belief in the team? Did you notice anything?
Absolutely. When we went up 1-0, they knew that we could win. They had that belief. They had that. It elevated our play. Because they was on the uphill of this battle, and they knew that if they played mistake free soccer, that win would that's how it would end up. Is we come in at halftime, that's what we discussed. Second half they're going to put numbers, they're going to push hard. We're just going to stick with our game plan. We're going to control the middle of the field, utilize the wings, and then just play smart soccer, mistake free soccer.
Coach, I've noticed. In all the years I've been around sports, specifically high school sports, there's a difference in a team that says we can win this game and a team that says we are going to win this game. And so I have to believe that once you guys hit that second half, it was, okay, we are going to win this game. Did you notice the kids getting maybe even a little bit tight the deeper that second half got and that score remained 1-0?
Absolutely. Not only them, but us as coaches, that you're watching them. Kind of a few onslaught of offensive advantages towards us and stuff, and there was a couple times that we had to take a deep breath. The players had to take a deep breath and just kind of remember what our game plan was. Okay, so we slow the game down, we control the game, at our tempo. About the last 10 minutes of the game, it got a little, I hate to use the word chippy, but it got a little chippy. Grand was a little frustrated. So they come out and that last 10 minutes was just an onslaught of just, foul after foul and, trying to make our guys lose their cool. And they stuck to the game plan and done exactly what they were supposed to do, so it was really good.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of hyperbole, Coach, but I honestly believe this may be the biggest win in Emory soccer history.
It is a very good win. It is up there. We've as far as the playoffs, we've had We've had some heartbreaking losses, and unfortunately, we've been in that situation where we've been a little bit higher seed and lost to a lower seed, and that doesn't feel well. But yes, it is a huge, huge win. It's, you know, and nothing helps carry a team, you know, like momentum, you know, a win. Going into a Richfield game that we know we can win as well too, is if we show up and we play, we look right to that and get ready to go.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Troy Winter of the Emory High School boys soccer squad. Coach, when you find out that we have not one, not two, not three, but four upsets in this round of the 3A soccer tournament, what's your initial reaction to that? Four upsets.
At first, we were actually surprised because we thought it was a misprint. You know, not that Richfield's not a good team. You know, we just had seen some numbers on Grantsville, and you know, we thought that game would, you know, turn out differently. Manti being upset was huge. And to be honest with you, I mean, Carbon, you know, we play them, we see them regularly, you know, as far as, you know, in the season and club soccer. We play Voltage club soccer with them, and that was a surprise. That was really a surprise, to be honest with you.
Now, with that being said, you get number 12, Richfield. That'll be next week. You guys will travel on the road, but this is a team that you've had success with. I know there was a thrilling game to open up the season, and then you guys pick up a 2-0 win over them just a few weeks back. And so how confident are you and the team, Coach, with this third-round matchup, an opportunity to get to that Final Four?
You know, we're very confident. You know, and I think if we go in with a proper game plan and the proper mindset with that as well, too, then we'll be able to be successful. You know, obviously not getting too confident of ourselves or too much higher than ourselves looking past this game or anything else. You know, we go from one game at a time. You know, I told our players last night on the bus home, you know, it's celebration time right now, you know, until we get home and until we step on the field tomorrow, you know, which will be today. You know, once we step on the field, then we're looking forward to the next game. No more celebrating. We're ready to go, and it's back to business and get ready to get to work.
Tell me about Richfield, Coach. What have you learned in the previous meetings with them so far this year?
You know, they're a team that's similar to us, you know, as far as having good athletes. I think their athletic ability is very good, and they've got a skill set, you know, similar to us as far as moving the ball, and soccer players, you know, and stuff. So we kind of balance out really well. I think, to be honest with you, it's all about momentum, you know, and who can carry that momentum, you know, from the win that we've had, having a good week of practice, having a good mindset, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, I think, you know, their strengths, you know, they've got similar strengths that we do and similar weaknesses that we do, you know, and stuff as far as ball control. You know, I'm super proud of the boys, and I know that we'll go out and perform, and they'll go out and give me 110%, just like this grand game. And if we go out and do that, then, you know, then the victory, you know, it's in our grasp.
Coach, what did you tell the boys last night on that long bus ride home?
Oh, I was just so very proud of them, because I just emphasize and stress 110%, you know, all the time. And sacrificing life and limb, you know, to do what we need to do as far as what our job is. And I was so very proud of them because every one of them went out there and they done their job. Our lineup was such. We had some underclassmen, you know, starting out. And so we had some seniors that had to come off the bench. Those seniors come off the bench and they performed and did exactly what we needed them to do. You know, they played 4, 6, 8 minutes and they bought into it as well too. And I'm just so very proud of them, you know, for how they played. You know, the excitement that they played with. I was just happy. It was the bus was rocking, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Coach, I know that there's so many ups and downs that a team could go through throughout a year, and your guys' journey is not over yet. But for these kids to at times have a rocky season and then experience something like this, I'm sure there's no bigger high from a coach.
It actually was, you know, as many ups and downs we've had through the season, it definitely is one of them things for sure. You know, and to be firing on all cylinders right now is the name of the game moving forward for sure.
Well, Coach, again, congratulations on the victory. Thank you very much for taking out the time to join us today. Hopefully next week we're talking about another win and a trip to the semifinals. Again, thank you and congratulations.
Absolutely. I really appreciate it, Jordan. Thank you. And, yep, thanks. And we'll talk to you next week for sure.
Go Spartans. Big win for the Emory soccer team. That's Coach Winter joining us here on Drive Time Sports. Plenty more straight ahead. We'll stick with Emory High School Athletics. Coming up after the break, you'll hear from Coach Rob Smith of the Emory baseball team. We're going to preview what lies ahead for the squad this weekend. And later on in the show, we'll catch up with Jimmy Fela. He's the host of Fox Across America, which you can hear weekdays right here on KOAL. That's all straight ahead when we return.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
We're back on Drive Time Sports. We're going to talk more high school baseball. Coming up this weekend, we have the 3A state championship tournaments, round one and two. Yesterday, we talked to Coach Jeff Cincineros, the Dinos, playing host to the first two rounds. Emory, on the other hand, will travel. They're going to go to Nephi. First round matchup for the Spartans, Morgan Trojans. That's what's up. An 8-9 matchup. A win there could put Emory into the next round against possibly JUAB. We'll talk about that and more right now with manager Rob Smith, who is joining us in studio. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jordan.
And Coach, this is a fun time of the year. I know that yesterday there was a lot of anticipation. Where are you going to be? You and I had talked, and it was, you had the mindset of it could be anywhere from 7 to 10, which is quite the fluctuation, and the RPI was really that close. I mean, honestly, you could have been a 7, you could have been a 10.
Yeah, I mean, kind of looking at it, the 10 spot, there is a little bit, about a little over a 1 point differential in the RPI there. So kind of wonder it's that 7-9, but you know, we take care of a few games, we might be that 6-5 range. So
that's the difficult part about the RPI. Every game actually means an awful lot. And if we go back to the season ending series against Richfield, two losses should have been two wins. I mean, we could just say it should have been two wins.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
So this late in the season, Coach, how does the team respond to losses and to you saying, look, guys, we eliminate this mistake, and it's a singular mistake that has cost you guys late in the season, especially after the way you rallied back to Carbon. How does the team respond to that?
I mean, practice, we've been good. We've been working on defense, and that's kind of been our downfall lately in those close games, is a couple errors here and a couple errors there, and it ultimately costs us the game. If you think back about the first game with Carbon, it's a 0-0 game. We have a couple errors. They score 6 runs off 3 errors. Game gets out of hand after a few more errors. Without the errors, it's a close game with Carbon there too. Even the game we did win Carbon, couple errors, they score runs off that. Richfield, you know, 5 errors in the last 3 innings. We end up blowing a 10-6 lead. It comes down to playing clean baseball, kind of what I've preached all year. And that's what we've been working on. Hopefully we can get our minds right and go play clean baseball for a few more games here.
When you mentioned 5 errors, I think a lot of that matters with context as well. If you don't commit the first error, you're not in a position to commit the second or third error. And that's the one thing I think we overlook when we look at box scores and errors. One error could lead to another just based on opportunity for the opposition.
Right, and it does for sure. You make the first play on an error, you may be out of the inning. Mm-hmm. You may not be. And so that's what it comes down to, is making the plays we should make and going from there.
Well, let's talk about the first round matchup. We get Morgan. This is an 8 seed. It's a pretty good 8 seed, actually, as well. I mean, there is a sample size there looking at Morgan and some common opponents and everything that you can kind of dissect and look back on. How comfortable are you with this first round matchup?
I'm happy with whoever we play. I feel like we have the ability to beat anybody if we play clean baseball.
As far as how you handle the rotation, and this is one of the great things about not playing this week. I know there's a lot of negatives about not playing, but one of the great things is you have a lot of pitching and every arm is going to be available. So how do you handle that, knowing that if you win 2 games in 2 days, you're in a terrific spot? If you lose that first game, it's a long, long road back to win a state championship.
Yeah, I mean, we're going all in to win the first one and then play on from there. I feel like we have the pitching to compete. going forward. We just, you know, we got to go, got to throw strikes, got to make plays.
As far as the one game at a time mindset, I mean, if you have to, you throw everyone in that first game, right? I mean, yeah, you empty the bullpen if you have to.
Yeah, and that's what, that was our discussion with the coaching staff yesterday, is, you know, go in it to win it the first game and adjust with pitching after that.
Outside of that, you'll more than likely see Juab in the second round, and I don't want to look past Morgan by any stretch of the imagination. I know that that's a tough opponent, but Juab in the second round at Juab, and that's a team that we have seen once already this season.
Yeah, and they're a good ball club, but looking at common opponents with them, Carbon played them well, Union played them well. We've played both of them as well, and played decent games against them. We did struggle a little bit against Union. It was a downpour, and you know, a couple errors hurt us in that one. But we make a few plays, we're right in it with Union there. And that's what I mean. If we play good, clean baseball, I feel we have a chance to beat anybody.
Again, our guest right now is manager Rob Smith of the Emory Spartans as we preview what lies ahead this weekend, round one, round two of the 3A state championship tournament. Again, Emory's going to travel to Nephi for two games in one day. Starting coach, I know you guys get the early game. I mean, it's early in the morning, so you got the long bus ride, then you got an early game.
Yeah, they switched it up on us yesterday afternoon after the RPI came out. Moved us from the 12:30 game to the 9 a.m. game. It's going to be a challenge for both teams. We both have to wake up and be there. So,
yeah, I was going to ask you, is that the way you handle it? You just wake up early? What time do you guys leave on Friday, Saturday? What's the plan?
We're actually going to go tomorrow night, get a hotel room, try to let the kids sleep a little better, sleep in a little bit longer, and go from there.
I know that's not always an option, right? So you guys are in a good spot to be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean... That's what we fundraise for, and the community helps a ton with that, and we thank them for that. And so,
how have you handled practice this week? Has it been more of a relax, let's ease our minds, or is it a go, knowing you haven't played any games? How did you handle that?
So we scrimmaged the first couple of days of practice this week, just let the kids throw, try to get some at bats looks that way, and the pitchers getting some looks at batters. Yesterday we had a defensive practice and hit. So today we're going to go at it again, and you know it. This is what we've played all year for, and that's the mindset I want them to have: is hey, it's time to go. So
yeah, it definitely is time to go, and it's always the thought: you know it or you don't at this point in time. And these kids know it, Coach. There have been instances where they have played clean baseball, and you guys get a win. I mean, it's really simple.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you look at the games we have won. You know, we're one or two errors here and there. Nothing big that's cost us. But the games we've lost that I feel we shouldn't have lost, you know, we're in that 4 or 5 range.
Let's talk about individual play. Who are some kids that you feel are peaking offensively at the right time? I know that's always important as well. So who are some kids right now that just seem to have confidence in the box and are seeing beach balls right now?
I don't know if I can really pick out one. They're all kind of just swinging it well. Jax Madsen, he's been swinging it well all year. I think he has one strikeout on the season. Always putting the ball in play, doing really well that way. Luke Stiltson, same. Riker starting to swing it well. Trevin swings it well when he's in there, and then Jace Mangum swings it well as well. So
with all that being said, Coach, in the state tournament, I've always had the mindset of pitching. You need pitching. There's no question. But at some point in time, everyone's pitching is going to be a little depleted, and you have to score runs. I mean, you may have to eke out a 12-10 win in the state tournament. We've seen it in the past.
Right, and that's, I mean, I think we all have the ability to score that many runs. You are going to run into good pitching, and it might be a 2-1 ball game. But at the same time, we got to give ourselves a chance when we do have runners in position to score.
Before I let you go, I want to talk about the importance of coming out of the first weekend with two wins, because, Coach, it's such a gauntlet. And even though you have a lot of arms, it's never easy to work your way through that one loss bracket. We've seen an Emory team do it before, and it was kind of amazing, honestly, the way they managed to do that. So when you look at the importance of staying out of that loser's bracket past the first weekend, how do you view that?
I mean, it's huge. It definitely will save arms in the long run. Like I said, I feel we have a good chance if we play clean baseball.
The goal is always the state championship.
Yep.
That's always the goal. The kids buy into that mindset.
Yeah, you know they've really been talking about it. Like, hey, let's go get one. Let's do it. That's what it's going to come down to, is going and doing it.
Well, Coach, it's going to be a lot of fun to follow along the way. I really appreciate you taking out the time to come into the studio today to talk about it. Last question before I let you go. When you talk to the team on Saturday morning before you take the field, it's a spot you've been in now for a couple of years. Have you changed your approach to make the kids, I guess, ease the nerves a little bit? I mean, what have you learned as a coach going into the state tournament? Maybe something that you have to do to help them out.
One thing I've really kind of focused on is having more empathy for them, kind of trying to understand what situation, what mindset they're in. I know my mindset, and that's kind of what is, just try to figure out what mindset they're in and help them relax with that mindset. Instead of my mindset kind of pressuring them to be ready, kind of get them, have the empathy with them to say, hey, what do I have to do to help them get ready?
Well, Coach, again, thank you for taking out the time to come in today. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. Best of luck on Saturday.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're going to be joined by Jimmy Fela. You listen to him on the mornings here on KOAL. We're going to have a conversation on sports and also what's going on in his neck of the woods. That's coming up next right here on Drive Time Sports.
Since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
A little over a month ago, we introduced Jimmy Fela to you. Now you hear him every morning right here on KOAL, weekdays from 10 to 1 o'clock. It's been a great month and a half. It really has. We had Jimmy on right before the start of the Major League Baseball season. And for those who don't remember, Jimmy actually warned me about the New York Mets. He warned me about it. He said it was fool's gold. And maybe I should have listened to this guy from New York. I think he knows a thing or two. Joining us right now over the phone, we have Jimmy Fela. Jimmy, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate you making time for me again today. Thank you.
Oh, Jordan, by the way, a month. I just made money in Vegas. Nobody had us lasting a month on KOAL. I think the line was 27 and a half days. This is big news.
It is. I've been on 10 years, haven't been canceled yet. So yeah, I'm right there with you. I think we did win some money. We better go collect. Thank goodness, because as you alluded to last week, boy, we didn't do too well in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say something about the Kentucky Derby that I think was so valuable. And it's something every sport and every athlete would benefit from realizing. Like, the Kentucky Derby gave us great escapism. It's only 2 minutes long, okay? And actually, for me, I got more escapism because now I'm hiding from a bookie. But the bottom line is, the Kentucky Derby, there was no protest. You didn't see a horse taking a knee. You know, you didn't see anybody getting political. I think sports could learn from horse racing in that we don't want to silence athletes. Obviously, they have a platform. They have a lot of influence. But the reason people pay $15 for a beer is we really like watching baseball. We really like watching football. We really like watching basketball. And I think sports is wasting its superpower to unite Americans. For real. Like, I think, you know, as a guy who was in New York after 9/11, I was in Yankee Stadium when George Bush threw out the first pitch. Although I will say the guy flying the blimp had a better view of the game than I did in the right field upper deck. But we were pretty high up there. But in that moment, no one was talking about who you voted for in the election. We were just Americans. We were just united around the fact that we were partaking in this common culture moment that sports provides us with. And really, I've been trying to build on the success of the Derby by reminding anyone I know who's an athlete that it's not that I'm saying stay in your lane, shut up, so much as I'm saying your true superpower is that sports transcends politics, and I think we'd all benefit from focusing on the sports as opposed to the politics of the athlete. Do you get that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do, and it's kind of a segue into my next question, because I avoid the political talk here on Drive Time Sports just because, again, I want a program where people can listen to sports. That's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about sports. We don't want to talk about politics. But it's inevitable in today's world that sports and politics have intertwined as one. And it's frustrating for me. And so when you're on your show, how frustrating is it for you to continuously have to bring the two together?
But you want to, I want to say this. In the interest of full disclosure, it doesn't drive me crazy as a host because I know sports, so there's nothing to really look up. Whereas politics, there's so many facts and numbers and bills and resolutions, I feel like it consumes more of my brain. Like, if you grew up as a sport guy, the numbers come so naturally. We grew up on batting averages and, you know, doubles and triples in ERA and stuff like that. But the frustration, for real, is that, yes, it's an easier show to prep, but it's the country as a whole is suffering because we don't have anywhere we can go to stop fighting. That's the frustration that I feel, is there's nowhere to go, forget about your differences and just be an American, just be somebody who likes a game. So I think, like, if I was talking to a pro athlete, that's what I would tell them, is that they have a gift that's so incredible, that is so, in terms of viewership, so attractive to people who love sports because we love the competition, but we also just love seeing these ungodly skills that these guys possess. And I think if they highlighted those skills, as opposed to the skills they don't necessarily have, which is a background in politics, they could bring the country together. That's what I'm saying. Sports has a rare ability to unite the country, and it's kind of being squandered right now. And again, I'm not trying to take away their voice, but let's be honest, their voice isn't working. Okay, it's not working, man. Like, we're not any closer together because athletes have spoken out. Crime rates haven't gone down in a major city because athletes have spoken out. They've honestly gone up. We're at 30-year highs in certain big cities like New York and Chicago. And it's, you know, not because athletes are speaking out, but the point is it's not making a difference. Because where athletes make a difference, in my opinion, is by lowering the temperature for a few hours a day. And it's not to say they shouldn't get involved. I think people should donate in their community. I think they should volunteer. I think they should be there. But I think the country would benefit greatly if we got back some of those things we love that have nothing to do with politics.
You talked about this on your show earlier this morning, the fact that we don't live in one world, we don't live in two worlds, we live in 330 million worlds. That's what we're living in right now. So when you talk about being divisive and the way sports is not uniting, you put an emphasis on social media carrying that, don't you?
Yes, I think that's a big part of it, is I think social media, because everybody is running their own one-man news network and their own little phone where they're the center of the universe and they want to look cool. And they want, you know, they want to brand themselves in ways that'll make their little one-man news network look cool. I think that's what attracts athletes, like LeBron James. Like LeBron James, I have a lot of respect for LeBron James, man, because even if I don't agree with his political positions, he was rich when he was 18. And Jordan, if I had $20 when I was 18, I might have gotten myself killed that night. You know, just based on the stimulation I'd have access to, whether it was like cheap beer or God knows what else growing up in New York City. But the point is, LeBron has kind of carried himself admirably, you know, in the public square for most of his life. And I think when he gets into politics, he might really mean well. I don't doubt that he does. But I don't think he knows what he's talking about. And sadly, I always compare him, you know, to like a knockoff Muhammad Ali, in that Muhammad Ali was really taking stances that were not only controversial, but came at great expense to him. Muhammad Ali lost the heavyweight championship of the world because he didn't agree with the Vietnam War. You know, LeBron, in this instance, is not really, you know, is not risking anything. You know, the oppressed people he likes to talk about in America aren't as remotely as oppressed as the people who might be making his sneakers in China. And again, it's not to say that makes LeBron a bad guy. You know, he's a product of a lot of his environment in terms of professional sports. But I would like to see him unite more than divide. And I think the way he would unite is by not criticizing the cops, spending more of his energy and influence investing in those communities. And he does donate a lot of money, but I'd like to see him go into those communities and level with kids that he carries so much weight with, that, hey, this is America, we're all really lucky to live here, and we could do some great things if we come together, as opposed to just calling everybody racist, okay? Because here's a newsflash, man. We're really not that racist. I grew up driving a cab. I'd pick up 50 people a day from all over the country and all over the world. And most of society, and I mean like 98% of society, is way past race, okay? And that's why I think pro athletes, it's not to say we should just give up on trying to make life better. Of course we should. I just think they have an easier route to help than the one they're taking now, which involves upsetting people on social media and alienating half the country.
Again, our guest right now, Jimmy Failla, again, the host of Fox Across America, which you can listen to Monday through Friday here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, beginning at 10 AM. Jimmy, let's talk about the actual sports landscape right now. With you being in New York, it's the first time since I think I've had my driver's license that the New York Knicks are actually relevant. What's the vibe around the Knicks right now in New York, knowing that they are going to the playoffs? And in fact, they're a top four team right now in the Eastern Conference.
You know what's so hilarious about this is the Knicks are finally good and you're not really allowed into the games.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point, yeah.
They've been losing in front of packed houses for 20 years, and now they're winning in front of a 20% crowd because of these COVID regulations, which if you're an arena and there's only 20% of the fans there, it's pretty jarring. I mean, unless you're a New York Mets fan, unless which case you're used to only seeing 20% of the crowd full anyway, with or without the COVID. But yes, the Knicks right now, man, when you really look at the Eastern Conference, you know, I'm not one of those guys who thinks they're going to win, but they're playing well. You know, I think 8 out of the last 10, if I remember yesterday, I was reading the New York Post. And they have a team that people like. And it's the best thing about New York is when we have a good team that people like. And what I mean by that is there were playoff runs. You know, if you remember in the Carmelo era, you know, they were in the playoffs the first year he was here, and then it kind of went sideways. But there were, you know, playoff runs here and there. But we haven't had a team like we liked. Like, we liked the character up and down since what we call the glory years, which was the mid-90s when we were losing to the Chicago Bulls pretty much every year in the playoffs. But we beat them in the finals one year in the Eastern Conference Finals without Michael Jordan, who was off playing minor league baseball. But we had a team people liked. Charles Oakley, you know, Patrick Ewing, Anthony Mason, God rest his soul. It, you know, the first year of that run, we had Xavier McDaniels, the X-Man. And they were a team that very much embodied the character of the town, which was like gritty, hard, scrabble, tough. This team has a lot of swag, and I do think people like them. And I think this is such a building block year. But do you want to pick for me in the East? Because I'd give you one since I love giving you picks.
If I got to pick a team coming out of the East right now, it's Philadelphia. I got to go with the 76ers. I mean, I love the Knicks, don't get me wrong, and I'm a Laker fan at heart, so I have a soft spot for Julius Randle. I love what the Knicks are doing. Nobody really considers the Knicks a legitimate Eastern Conference contender, right? It's got to be Philly or Brooklyn, and the team continuity, and Doc Rivers on the bench, and Joel Embiid's put together an MVP-caliber year. And, you know, the other thing, when you're going up against the 76ers, they're one of the only teams in the league that can guard, let's say, the Lakers man up, because Ben Simmons is that unique. He's almost a unicorn defensively. In a game that is built around offense, a league that's built around offense, this guy's a unicorn defensively. I don't see anyone beating Philly. I really don't.
They're good. And you know what? They have, as you said, they now have the pedigree to do this. We've seen them flame out in the playoffs before, but I could buy Philly. I don't buy the Nets, as trendy as they are around here. Like, people have really bought in on the Nets. I think they need a little more time. And I'm not, are you a huge Kyrie guy? Because I don't love Kyrie. I mean, I've seen him do incredible things. You know, when you think back to the one championship he won in Cleveland, he had a run there. But I also know Kyrie to be a little bit of a me-first guy. And I'm not crazy about the Nets, but which is unpopular to say in my town, because everybody, you know, obviously lost their mind over them too. But are you sold on the Nets?
No, I'm not. And I can give you three reasons as to why I'm not sold on the Nets. In fact, I'll give you four reasons. For one, I don't like Steve Nash as a head coach taking a team to an NBA championship. There's a process there. And he hasn't gone through that process at this particular point in time. Okay, now you mentioned Kyrie. I'm with you 100% on Kyrie. As far as a point guard in the NBA is concerned, I want you to look at a quarterback-type role, which we're seeing in Phoenix. That's Chris Paul. Kyrie Irving is on the opposite end of the spectrum, mentally and leadership-wise, from Chris Paul. I don't trust that when I get to the playoffs. James Harden has a history of vanishing in the playoffs. This was his MO even when he was at OKC with Westbrook and Durant. We don't even have to mention the Rocket years, right? He has this tag. He vanishes in the playoffs. Plus, I don't know that Kevin Durant's 100% yet. I think it's probably going to take a full season for him to get his legs back. Too many question marks for me with the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And honestly, I do feel like the Chris Paul comparison is the best way to articulate this. Chris Paul is making people around him better. In a lot of ways, Kyrie Irving makes people around him worse. That's a really bad thing to have following you wherever you wind up going. I mean, because you think about it. When you talk about guys with his level of talent getting traded as often as he has, there's an indictment of him in there somewhere. Whether he wants to reckon with that or not is another story. Do you like Phoenix in the West then, or where are you right now in the West?
The Western Conference, as far as Phoenix is concerned, no. I love the backcourt of Booker and Paul. I do, and I think that DeAndre Ayton has made some huge, huge strides. I put Phoenix in the same category as, say, Atlanta about 5 years ago. You know, they were a trendy pick coming out of the East, the number one seed. And then they ran into that LeBron James guy and the Cavaliers, and that was the end of it. And I view Phoenix in the same sense, because I don't believe they're nearly as deep. In the West, it all comes down to health. I don't believe anyone can beat a healthy LeBron and AD four times in seven games, unless it's the Clippers, who have been playing a lot better basketball. And I view the Clippers the same way you view the Mets, right? If we're talking baseball, Mets-Yankees, I view the Clippers the same way with the Lakers. But, again, it's finally a season to where the pieces just match correctly. They did sneaky things, grabbing DeMarcus Cousins, making a trade for Rajon Rondo. They put pieces together. And so, as long as the Lakers and the Clippers are on the opposite end of the playoff bracket, I like that matchup in the Western Conference, Jimmy. And I know Jazz fans, they think I'm a little critical when it comes to the Utah Jazz, but I'm not buying them either. To me, it's a race between two LA teams in the Western Conference.
Really? I would have thought for sure you're sitting on a Utah Jazz team that's looking at, I believe, a one seed the last I checked.
Yeah.
I thought you'd feel better about the Jazz. Do you have a thing that, because we have a similar relationship here in New York, okay, with the Knicks. Obviously, the Knicks have at least won a championship. But not in our lifetime. So we've watched the Knicks find a way to become the Knicks. At one point or another, at some point, they just revert to being the Knicks. It's Midnight Cinderella, that whole thing. Is that the measured approach you take to being a Jazz fan? Is that you're kind of, you know, a little more pessimistic?
No, I don't believe. I think it's foolish to look at what's happened in years past and use that as a track record for this season, especially in professional sports where the turnover rate right now, we're looking at 2-3 years. I mean, we're seeing superstars sign a 1-1 type contract. So I think it's foolish to look at it from that perspective. The playoffs are just a different animal. And when I look at what Quinn Snyder has done in Utah, it's a team that I think is good defensively, but I don't know that they're good on the offensive side of the ball. And as I alluded to earlier, the way the game has changed, everything is offense, offense, offense. You got to remember that right now the focal point of this Jazz team, it's not Donovan Mitchell. He's been hurt for the last two and a half weeks. It's Rudy Gobert. And this is still a center that is widely ineffective offensively when facing the basket. That's a problem once we get to the postseason, especially when you have to go up against the likes of DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis and DeAndre Ayton. In my mind, Rudy Gobert is too one-dimensional offensively, and I don't know that the Jazz have enough complementary pieces around him on that side of the floor for me to take them serious in a best-of-seven series.
Wow. Well, I will have to tell you that by law, because Mike Conley is a Buckeye, I have to root for Mike Conley and the Jazz in my house because Jenny Fallon, like, I don't know if you know this, Ohio State is kind of like a cult. Like, it's so much bigger than sports. I found out my wife was pregnant on a Brutus the Buckeye pregnancy test. Literally. Talk about brand loyalty. It threw its arm up in the air like it's good, like as if it was judging a field goal, which I wanted to tell whoever made the pregnancy test, some guys aren't actually rooting for it's good. Like, they don't consider the pregnancy good, you know, but that's another story for another time. But listen, I like the Jazz more than you do. I mean, you make a good convincing argument for why I shouldn't, but I feel like they have a shot because, like you said, assuming health, the Clippers, listen, I actually like Kawhi. And I know he drives a lot of people crazy, but the Clippers, they probably, all things being equal, will win the West. That's my guess. Having heard what you said, you actually made a believer out of me, because I came into this as a Suns guy, because I was interviewing Emily Compagno yesterday, and her and Jessica Tarloff were both on the show. They're both basketball junkies, Tarloff more than Emily. And Tarloff is completely sold head to toe on the Suns, but going from talking about it with a political pundit to a guy who clearly has an unhealthy relationship with just how much he likes sports, there's a next level of conviction in you, Buscarini.
Well, that's a good thing. I'm glad I can bicker about this back and forth with you, because I know my wife gets tired of hearing about it. She don't give a hoot about it. She doesn't care one iota about the NBA.
That's so funny. Now, I have one of those too. Like, my wife's relationship with the NBA is like, she roots for Buckeyes and doesn't care. And she's even, you know, she's been bit by that a little bit. Because do you remember Greg Oden?
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Number one, the Portland. He was talking about an injury risk. You know, he was a guy that would, like, break a fibia during the national anthem. Like, mm-hmm. A lot of weird, odd, you know, injuries, and didn't really have much of a career. But I know you're familiar with him. And that's when it kind of, like, tempered her optimism. That's when Jenny Fela came back down to earth. But prior to that, she was a lunatic Buckeye fan. In the NBA, anyway, like, following players individually. But where we're at now in the Fela house, for real, is we have a kid, my son Lincoln Fela, is finally playing Little League Baseball at the age of 12. He didn't play in the intervening years. He played basketball because he's 6'1", 220 as a 12-year-old. He looks like a Ukrainian circus bear. And all of our attention, Jordan, has been on the Little League Baseball team this spring. And I got to be honest, the idea that everybody gets a trophy does not make for better baseball players. And I have lost a lot of money gambling on this team.
Well, it's still illegal in the state of Utah. I don't have a kid in Little League yet, so I haven't got to that point. We'll have to find ways around that when the time comes.
Well said, man. I love your strategy.
Jimmy, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you so much once again for taking out the time. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find you on social media, Twitter. You're a great follow, and of course, they can listen to you here on Fox Across America on Monday through Friday.
Oh, yes, you can. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jimmy Failla, F-A-I-L-L-A. And my Twitter account, it's like the radio show. It's a good hang. I don't fight with strangers. I'm not trying to change the world. If something silly happens, I'll tweet about it. If I don't tweet for 2 days, it's because I'm out living my life in the real world. But I really, honestly, Jordan, I appreciate your support. And you know I love KOL, and you know Paul Anderson owes me some free beer, so let's make this happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. Jimmy, hey, you remind your wife when you get home tonight, you remind her that even though it was a bad basketball season for Ohio State, Oral Roberts has more wins over Ohio State than Jim Harbaugh. You just let her know that, and everything's going to be just fine.
Oh, she will love you for that. That's funny. That's like, you could hit on her with that line. Good job. I appreciate it.
Jimmy, a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You too, Jordan. Take care, brother.
Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. You can listen to Jimmy Failla, Fox Across America, right here on KOAL. Unfortunately, we are out of time on the show today. I'll catch you tomorrow as well. Same time, same place. Be safe. I am out.